Good morning. Welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church on this first Sunday of Advent. I'm hopeful that everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We have several announcements this morning, Barb.
Good morning, ladies of the church. This week and next week are the two Sundays that I'm going to be selling tickets for the Women's Candlelight Dinner. This year is going to be awesome. Melissa has confirmed that we're having the Striking Strings, which are a hammered dulcimer group. There's going to be 12 of them at Brooklyn Country Club on Thursday, December 12th. It's $20 a person. A wonderful dinner like we had last year. We've got quite a few signed up, so see me in the fellowship hall for tickets. Thanks.
Good morning to everybody. Thank you. You missed out because you didn't show up yesterday, some of you. What a time we had putting that tree up. It was all full of ice. But with the Lord's work, and you know, two junior highs showed up. I can't say names because that'd be prejudice. But Samantha and Colton did a really good job. And we really appreciated everything.
I've already been saying, had several good mornings, so I won't say good morning. Want to point out, the Cameron Giving Tree is up in the hallway for things to be taken off, and the Mitten Tree is in the hallway in the addition for things to be put on. So grab your tags off the Cameron Tree, and I do want to note it's kind of a quick turnaround this year. We need the gifts here by next Sunday, so shop quickly. Thank you.
And I'd like to remind the youth, there's youth group today. If you're in junior high, it's right after worship. And if you're in senior high, it's 6 o'clock tonight. So let us prepare ourselves for worship.
Thank you.
I invite Colton Crane and his grandmother, Jenny Barley, to light our first candle in the Advent wreath. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. We light one candle illuminating God's truth. So that all might learn the joy the Christ child brings into the world, so that we might live the joy of the sacred birth. Stand for the call to worship, if able. Behold, God is good and has set a star in the heavens to guide us to the truth. Behold, God is good and has promised us a teacher to lead us.
Join me in a prayer of confession. O Holy God, we confess that we do not take seriously your coming into our lives. We do not believe that you are the true source of joy. We pursue ways to dull our pain, seeking happiness at all costs. We yearn for peace, but do not bend our own swords and spears. Forgive us, we pray, that we might once again walk in your wisdom. Join me in your silent prayer of confession. Join me in the words of assurance. This is the good news in Jesus Christ. We can stand before God, not through our own goodness, but through God's great kindness to us. Rejoice and be glad, for God comes to us forgiving us. Thanks be to God, we can live in joy.
I'd like to invite the children forward. Let's come over here today. Did you have a good Thanksgiving? Did you eat a lot? What was your favorite food at Thanksgiving? Ham. Oh, okay. Turkey. How about you? Gravy. Here, a stuffing. Well, that sounds like you all had a delicious meal. Well, today is the first Sunday of Advent. And Advent is a time in the church in which we prepare ourselves for the coming of baby Jesus. It's a time in which we remind ourselves over and over again what Christmas is about. It's about the birth of Jesus. Today, I ask Mr. Hadley to make me this big J. It's a pretty big J, don't you think? Yeah, me too. He did a great job. And I covered it with pictures of Jesus. So what do you think the J stands for? Jesus, right. That's good. So over the next few weeks, it can help remind us that what Christmas is about Jesus. And because you can see lots of pictures of Jesus at all ages. There's some when he was a little tiny baby. There's some when he was a boy learning his lessons. And then when he was an adult. And if you look closely, you'll see pictures of Jesus helping other people. Here he's helping a woman, and here he's washing the feet of his disciples, and here he's helping a little girl. And Jesus came into our world to teach us how to live like God wants us to live, helping people and loving people. So let's have a prayer. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to our world to teach us how God wants us to live. Amen. Okay, you may go back to your seats. It's not church school today. The first reading of the word this morning comes from Isaiah. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountains of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come! Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." It was a hot summer day. I know, that's almost hard to imagine. Yes, it wasn't that long ago, only a couple of months ago, that Melissa and I spent the day at my home planning the upcoming program year. We both love to brainstorm and can easily get lost in the forest of theology as we analyze the theological implications of every single little word, even the commas and the semicolons. I confess, it's an occupational hazard, but it's what clergy do for fun. It's true. Even as the rest of the world kind of yawns and says, "You gotta be kidding." Well, it was on that August day that we decided and agreed upon the Advent theme for this year. Live the joy. I wrote it down on some random piece of paper. Advent theme 2013, live the joy. However, over the next few months, I just couldn't get the phrase correct. And yes, the random piece of paper had become randomly tossed somewhere. I remembered the live, and I remembered the joy, but it was that tiny little middle word that was causing me the problem. At one point, I referred in a conversation to the theme as live in joy. No, Melissa patiently and politely corrected me. Live the joy. Another time, I texted her and referred to live with joy. No, she texted me back. Live the joy. Well, and then there was the Young Children's Committee meeting in September. I can't exactly remember what I told them the thing was, but it was wrong. And a week or two ago, I gave Kay a graphic for the Harbinger cover that proclaimed, live with joy. Kay tried to correct me, but I dug my heels in and insisted that the theme was live with joy. Luckily, I didn't have the last word. By this point, the Advent theme and the problems that I was having with it had become an office joke. While others laughed, I decided it was time for me to seriously examine my resistance to live the joy. Better to admit some kind of psychological issue than to admit to an aging brain, a scattered brain, or better yet, no brain. Thus, I ventured into my own psyche to explore why this tiny little word was causing me so much trouble. Well, let's face it. Live with joy is absolutely doable. Just put on a happy face and smile. We all know how to live with joy. And live in joy feels a bit like slipping into one's favorite sweater, sort of like living in the midst of what makes you feel good. Truth be told, I had to admit that to live the joy of the Prince of Peace in the midst of a troubled world feels daunting to me, if not downright impossible. For example, several weeks ago, I attended a Presbyterian youth retreat with 200 plus other Presbyterians from our presbytery. Some of those folks were from GPC. Mark Iaconelli, a well-known author and speaker in the youth ministry world, was the leader of that retreat. He was excellent, captivating both the youth and the adults. I confess, however, I was a bit surprised when he looked at the youth and he said, many of you have never known peace in your lifetime. Yes, I knew the Afghanistan war began in 2001. I also knew that some middle schoolers are 12 years old. But I had not put that fact together. I was stunned when I realized that I was now nurturing teenagers who haven't had a single day in their lives when their country wasn't at war. For these young people, war is normal. Yes, our world offers us some huge challenges, and it would be easy to throw up our hands and say, there's just nothing I can do about it. And yes, an aging, scattered brain mixed up those little words. But perhaps an aging skeptic did as well. And yet, as Christians, we just don't have that option. Christ taught us to believe that peace is possible,
personal peace, family peace, global peace. And after all, isn't that exactly the conversation that the prophet Isaiah is having in our scripture reading today with his friends and neighbors? For in 701 B.C., in the days of Isaiah, the marketplaces of Jerusalem were overflowing with fear as people shared stories of the war that was happening just outside their city. The Assyrian army was ravaging the countryside of Judah, destroying the very fiber of the Judeans' way of life. Kings were forming alliances with other kings, and it was hard to know who the good guys were and who the bad guys were. Despair and discouragement surely filled the air. Yet the prophet Isaiah refuses to get stuck in gloom. He paints a picture of a world where the tools of war are transformed into the tools of agriculture. A world where the Department of Defense is closed down as the Department of Agriculture expands. A world where swords are beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. In the midst of the impending bloodshed, Isaiah offers hope. Not through the promise of military victory, but instead through the promises of God's people making better choices. In Advent, we celebrate the Christ child who came into our world teaching God's people the how-tos of faith-driven decision-making. We know the comprehensive lesson plan. It's fundamental to our faith. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Indeed, to live the joy is so much deeper than just simply being happy. It's to live as Jesus taught us to live, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Friends, our children do not have to grow up knowing only war or bullying or battering or prejudice, or any other life-robbing behavior. We can teach them peace. We can teach them Jesus' way, because we can live Jesus' way. Advent encourages us to explore what it would mean to beat the swords of our lives into plowshares. I dare say, we each have a different sword, and in turn, we each have a different method of transforming it into a plowshare. For some, it means dealing with the tension that has developed with a loved one. For others, it means seeking healthy ways of communication that are not demeaning and demanding. For still others, it means jumping into the messy work of forgiveness. It invites all of us, however, to explore our own prejudices, to examine our own destructive power plays, to ask ourselves if our behavior promotes even finances, violence in our culture. It calls us to work for peace and justice in our families, in our communities, and in our world. To live the joy is to live believing with heart and soul and mind that God's plan is for God's people to live together in harmony. During this Advent season, I encourage you to ask God for the strength to make one, just one change in your life that will enable you to more fully embrace the vision of plowshares and pruning hooks, not swords and spears. Now I ask you to to hear the second reading this morning, where Paul is reminding his congregation in Rome of the powerful words of Jesus. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. And any other commandment are summed up in this word. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Amen. I invite all to come to the table, to come to the table of our Lord Jesus Christ. The liturgy is in the back of the green book. This is the joyful feast of the people of God. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust in him to share the feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Give thanks to God, for God is good.
His love is everlasting.
Holy Lord, everlasting God, who in the beginning brought light and life to the world, and who continues to bring it love everlasting, your song of wisdom echoes through the ages. You have called your people to embrace your joy and share your love. But even when they have closed their ears to your song, you did not stop singing. You sent prophets and messengers, reminding your people of the promised time of peace and justice that would surround the world. And then you came to a young woman named Mary and laid out the promise in a new way. In her son, the world would be changed. And now, as we prepare for that child to be born, we echo the ancient cry, O come, Emmanuel. Great and wonderful are your works, Lord God Almighty. Your ways are just and true. With people of faith from all times and places, we lift our hearts in joyful praise, for you alone are holy.
Holy God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who lived with us sharing joy and sorrow. He told your story, healed the sick, and was a friend to sinners. Obeying you, he took up his cross and was murdered by people he loved. We praise you that he is not dead, but has risen to rule the world, and that he is still the friend of sinners. We trust him to overcome every power to hurt or divide us, so that when you bring in your promised kingdom, we will celebrate your victory with him.
Remembering the Lord Jesus, we break bread and share one cup, announcing his death for the sins of the world, and telling his resurrection to all people and nations.
Great God, give your Holy Spirit in the breaking of bread, so that we may be drawn together and joined to Christ the Lord, receive new life, and remain his glad and faithful people until we feast with him in glory.
On the night of his arrest, Jesus shared a meal with his disciples, and at that meal, he took the bread, and he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Eat, remembering me." And in the same way, he took his cup, and he poured the wine. And he said, "This is a sign of the new covenant. Drink, remembering me." that I am the bread of life. Whoever believes in me shall never hunger. Whoever trusts in me shall never thirst. Eat, remembering me.
Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Drink. Let us pray. O God, through this bread and this cup, you have made us one with you and with each other. May the unity we find at this table be a gift that we carry into your world. Help us to find strength in knowing that you, the God of peace, will always be with us. Amen. I invite you to share your prayers of joy and your prayers of concern.
I have a prayer of joy. On Thanksgiving morning, my children, who were raised in this church, found a lady lying in the parking lot who had lain there for a half an hour. She thought she had called out to people and no one could hear her. My children heard her and checked her for injuries, got her up on her feet, and took her to her apartment and called her family. A few weeks ago, I had a choking episode in the parking lot, and I was helped by Clarine and Carrie and Melissa, and driven home all the way to Walworth after that. It never fails to amaze me how the circle of love and kindness and ministry to and for one another goes on and on without any end.
Praise God. Thank you, Jill.
Bill DeSoro, we had a joy to share. With the Thanksgiving and everybody's families getting together, my son Brian and his wife Jeanette told us that they're expecting their second child. So,
yay! That's good news.
Good morning, Eric Vail. I'd like to ask you to join me in wishing Marge Westfall a birthday this coming Tuesday. And I think it's 95. Is it not? It is.
So I don't know about you, but I think we need to sing. So let's sing to her.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Good morning, Beth Molina. I just would like continued prayers for my Aunt Sue Mancini and the Mancini family as they continue to deal with the loss of my uncle, Angie, last week.
Angie died on Wednesday. His memorial service will be Saturday here at 10 o'clock.
Donna Schott, I would like prayers for Greg's dad, Charlie Schott, who's been in Rochester General since Wednesday with health issues.
Good morning, Cam Moss Graber. As we all sit here and in joy of the great Thanksgiving we had a family. We, as a staff, decided we were going to all collect food and bring it in. And we were hoping for 3 baskets, and the generosity allowed us to bring in 8. And the one family that we took to, we put a little tablecloth in every box. And the principal said, "This is wonderful, but they don't even have a table. So please keep in mind during this wonderful time, the gifts on the tree seem so insignificant to some of us, but it may be the only gift that many of these children will receive and the adults. And the baskets are so needed this year. The amount of poverty may not be that much higher, but the depth of the poverty is so much greater this year. And I am so blessed to be part of this congregation that reaches out. Thank you so much.
Paula Sousa, I have a prayer of joy. Jamie was within 24 hours of losing her apartment. And through special people in the agency she's working with, her landlord has extended her lease. And I'll tell you, the power of prayer is amazing.
And I just feel like I need to say, welcome to Ralph English and Sally. I good to have you back. Let us pray. God of peace, you call us from the warring madness of our world. You teach us how to be peacemakers. We hear your lessons and yearn to step forward, to do things differently. But we confess our fear. We hear about acts of terror, horrifying war arsenals, even guns on our streets, and we are afraid. In fear, we battle within ourselves about what is right and what is safe. Strengthen us, O God, to be the people you want us to be. Help us to step away from judging and critiquing, bullying and belittling. Erase our fears, for we seek to see you in the eyes of the people standing in front of us and in the hearts of those far away from us. We want to love each other as we love ourselves. Lord, make us servants of your peace. Help us to prepare the way for peace and justice. Help us to prepare the way in our families and in our communities and in our world. Oh God, we ask you to hear our silent prayers for those we know whose inner turmoil rob inner peace, whose chaotic lives drain lives of meaning. This morning we pray for the Mancini family. We give you thanks for the life of Ange Mancini, for his long service to Gates Presbyterian, for his dedication to education, and for his love of family. Be with his grieving family in these difficult days. We ask you to wrap your loving arms around all who are going through difficult times. And, O God, we ask you now to hear us as together we pray the prayer our Lord taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us bring our gifts forward.
Heavenly Father, please receive these gifts of our tithes and of our offerings. A small portion returned to you from the abundance that you've given to us. May this be used in your service. Bring glory to your church, your name, and help shine your light on this hurting, dysfunctional world. And all this we pray in the name of your Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Now let us go into the world determined to live the joy of Jesus Christ, and knowing that we go out with the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.